May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 731. Heal us, Emmanuel. Here we are, waiting to feel thy touch. Deep wounded souls to thee repair. And Saviour, we are such. Hymn 731.
Thank you. together from the Word of God. The Gospel according to Luke chapter 24, reading the first 35 verses. The Gospel according to Luke chapter 24, reading the first 35 verses. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in, and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid, and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11, and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, and Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter, and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near, and went with them. But their eyes were holden, that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these, that ye have one to another, as ye walk, and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word, before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death, and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre, and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and blessed it, and brake, and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us, while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour, and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. May the Lord bless that reading of his word of truth to us, and help us how to pray and what to pray for. O Lord, once more we come together, the assembling of thy people, and we do pray and seek that each one of us may truly desire and pray, that we might be drawn near unto thee, that this evening hour we might each feel a little union and fellowship with thee, being drawn aside from this world and the cares and the concerns of the day, those many lawful and necessary things which we are to do here below. But, O Lord, we do pray that we may be enabled to put them down at this time, and through thy Spirit, O, that thou wilt draw our poor hearts unto thyself, O, that we might each know in a very real and personal way that true worship, love and devotion to thy name, and that our sacrifice together this evening hour is a sacrifice willing, a desire in our hearts to come before thee, to seek thy face. But Lord, we come and truly desirous, Lord, that thou wilt come and do something for us, and in particular, Lord, to lift up our hearts to thee. O Lord, we sing that hymn together, Lord, and Lord, we need and seek and desire that healing balm of thy precious blood in our souls. We need that healing, Lord, to quicken us and to bring us near unto thee. And, O Lord, whatever our complaint, whatever our need be at this time, O, may it be our prayer. Heal us, Emmanuel. Here we are, waiting to feel thy touch. Deep wounded souls to thee repair, and Saviour, we are such. O, we do come, Lord, feeling that poverty spiritually, feeling undone, Lord, and through sin, word, thought, and deed. And, O Lord, we cannot, Lord, say that we always come to thy house of prayer with living desires. We cannot say, Lord, that we always come in that lively exercise of faith and love to Thee. We cannot say, Lord, that we come to Thy house, O Lord, and with, Lord, that praise and blessing in our hearts towards Thee. But, O Lord, we do pray, arise, the Son of Righteousness, with healing in our wings. Oh, that, Lord, to raise us up above ourselves, above our sad state and condition by nature, but, Lord, to raise us up, and, Lord, above the veil. Oh, to bring us, Lord, near to Thee, quickening us in our hearts, in our minds, and taking through Thy Spirit the things of Jesus and showing them unto us. O Lord, that indeed through Thy Spirit is able to quicken us, able to draw our poor souls unto Thee, and that we might experience, Lord, for an hour this evening, that real and true fellowship with Thee. So come, Lord Jesus, we pray, unto each one of us. Oh, do lead our poor souls into Thy truth, the wonders of Thy grace to sinners, and all the blessedness, the gift, Thy dearly beloved Son, to Thy people, that He should come and ransom them from sin and death and hell. O Lord, we want to know the blessing, we want the confirmation in our souls, again and again, that it was for us that Thou didst suffer, bleed and die at Calvary. And oh, we do pray, Lord, that Thou wilt bless us, and with those further and continued tokens, Lord, of Thy sufferings and death, and bring us again, Lord, to realize whose we are, to whom we do belong, that we are not our own, that we are bought with a price, the price of Thine own heart's blood. Oh, that precious blood shed for sinners, and, Lord, that blood to cover the multitude of our sins and crimes. Oh, we do thank Thee, Lord, oh, that Thou didst come, that Thou didst, Lord, put Thyself in the room and the place of the sinner and suffer in their room instead that belonged unto them, even that just wrath of a holy and a righteous God who hateth and abhorreth all sin. O Lord, come then, we pray Thee, be our helper at this time, and pray, Lord, that Thou wilt, through Thy Spirit, open up the Scriptures of truth unto us, that we might live spiritually upon Thyself, upon Thy person, all that Thou didst come to do for sinners, and all the grace of our God in covenant blessings, which belong to Thy people in gracious promises through Christ. Oh, do help us, Lord, this evening hour, that we may be partakers of the same. Meet our deep needs in the gospel, Lord. We thank Thee, Lord, for that fullness that is in Thyself, and whereby, Lord, not one poor, needy, seeking sinner shall be denied, Lord, of that mercy that is in Jesus. So, Lord, do undertake for each one of us. Thou hast heard our prayers and our petitions as we come into the pews of Thy house. Oh, do hear those prayers, Lord. Oh, Lord, come to Thy people, prayer hearing and prayer answering according to Thy promise. And, oh, Lord, we do pray that Thou wilt bless them, Lord. drawing near to their great needs in the gospel. And Lord, to thank thee, oh, that it was unto sinners that thou didst come into this world. And Lord, what mercy that is, Lord, for each one of thy people, those, Lord, indeed, who were far out of the way, those indeed dead in trespasses and in sins, and yet the blessing that thou didst come to save and to redeem the publicans, the harlots, and the sinners. Lord, help us to give glory to thy name, O Lord. Help us, Lord, to speak of the great things that thou hast done for us. Oh, we are reminded, Lord, of that mad Gadarene, his deplorable state and condition by nature, those many devils that were in him, and also breaking his bonds and chains so often, the solemn state that he was found in. And yet, Lord, oh, that thy rich mercy came to him. And Lord, we think we were no better than him. Oh, he was going forth, as it were, about the tombs, the dead. And Lord, we were dead. We were dead in trespasses and in sins. We were far from thee, Lord, through sin and corruption and depravity of heart and of mind. But oh, the mercy that thou didst appear unto him, and oh, the blessing that he was found at thy feet in his right mind. Oh, Lord, oh, may we be enabled, Lord Jesus, to know what it is to be found before thee, and through that abounding grace of our Lord Jesus, to be found and in our right mind at the feet of Jesus. It is all of grace, Lord, that grace that we cannot really and truly describe. But he desired, Lord, to follow thee. But thou didst, Lord, say to him, return unto thy friends and tell them the great things that the Lord hath done for thee. Lord, help us that we may also be enabled to tell of the great things that the Lord hath done for us. Oh, we do seek, Lord, that we may be enabled to speak well of thy name, never to forget thee, Lord, for thou hast indeed done great things. And those great things, Lord, as thou didst pass through the solemn scenes of Calvary for thy people, and Lord, to give those through thy death life spiritual and eternal. Oh, help us then, Lord Jesus, to serve thee, to worship thee, and be with us, Lord, each this evening hour. Fix our hearts and our minds upon thyself. And, oh Lord, may it be at this evening hour a time precious to our souls, a precious Christ revealed. Grant to us each some token in our poor souls that we have been with Jesus. May we know a little, Lord, of that enlightening of our poor minds upon thyself and upon thy person, all that thou art, and Lord, all thy characters and all thy offices that thou dost hold for thy people, in order, Lord, to come to their case and need. So we are, Lord, again the dependents of thy grace this evening hour. And we do pray, Lord, that thou wilt visit us and grant to us a portion of living bread, and that we may know what it is Lord Jesus, to look to Thee and to know the encouragements of our faith in Thy name, in Thy word and in Thy gospel, in Thy promises towards poor, needy sinners, helping us, Lord, to grow in grace and knowledge of Thee, preparing us, Lord, for Thyself and for Thy kingdom. O Lord, do work in us to will and to do of Thy good pleasure. And O Lord, if it be Thy will to bring us into paths of affliction and trial and difficulty, O Lord, help us to take up our cross and to follow Thee. O Lord, Thou didst pass through, Lord, this Thy pilgrimage journey here below, and Lord, what a path that Thou didst pass through. O, the scorn, the mockery, the hatred, the malice of so many that were against Thee, and so oftentimes sought to take Thy life, that they despised Thee and rejected Thee, and saw Thee only as a root out of a dry ground. But, O Lord, do help us to pass through our trials, our troubles, and our difficulties here below. Put forth Thy right hand to help us, Lord, and to support us and to strengthen us. May we experience underneath the everlasting arms Thou hast promised to be with Thy people in all their troubles, Lord. May not know that deliverance immediately, but Lord, oh, to know Thy presence, Lord, and that helping hand with us in the way, and help us to submit to all Thy holy and Thy sovereign will in all things. It may be, Lord, that our troubles are inward and spiritual, and oh, that they can be, Lord, far greater than our outward troubles. And Lord, we do pray, oh, appear unto each one of us. May we each, Lord, know what it is this evening hour to enter into a little of that settled peace and rest that is in the gospel, the peace of God that passeth all understanding, to keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Yes, through all our troubles and all our trials. It may be, Lord, that Thou wilt correct us and chasten us and rebuke us. But, O Lord, give unto us that grace to receive such chastening. For, Lord, it is in Thy love and in Thy mercy that Thou, Lord, dost chasten. So keep us, Lord, and preserve us, Lord, as we journey on here below. Be with us, Lord, in every part and aspect of our lives, and help us by faith to live upon Thee and to serve Thee. Help us to know the throne of grace, committing all our cares and concerns into Thine ever-merciful hands. And, Lord, we do pray that Thou wilt rule and reign in all things concerning us. So do, Lord, guard and guide us round about. Put a wall of fire round about us. There be the glory in the midst. O Lord, we do need Thy protection. We do need Thy support and strength, Lord, as we journey on. And Lord, we know not what a day may bring forth. Be with us in each and every day, Lord, and help us by faith to live upon Thee. And Lord, draw near to each of our needs. And so, Lord, be with Thy people here that gather together in Thy name week by week. Oh, what a favour, Lord, it is to be found inside the house of Thy prayer, not in the world, Lord, and where this world lieth in wickedness, and wherein is all evil and vanity. But, O Lord, what a mercy it is to be found in the courts of thy house. Oh, do help us, Lord, to thank thee for the grace, Lord, that hath brought us here, and to be found at thy feet, Lord, ready to worship, praise and bless thee. And Lord, do draw near to thy deacons here, give them grace, and Lord, give them, Lord, that wisdom, that they may know, Lord, that good for thy people, their welfare. May they know what it is to pray over them. May there be a spiritual prosperity, Lord, in this thine house. Those indeed, Lord, who seek thee, and whose desire is, Lord, that they might, Lord, bear glory to thy name, for their through their worship, Lord, and that, Lord, thou wilt meet their case and need. We pray also that there may be, Lord, an enlargement in numbers, or that this house indeed may be filled with seekers, Lord, who desire to know thee in thy salvation. O Lord, that they might be brought as beggars before thee, suing for that mercy through thy blood, and that blood of Jesus Christ, able to heal and able to cleanse from all sin and defilement. And thou, Lord, who art able to save unto the uttermost all that come unto God by thee. And, O Lord, there is none, Lord, that is too far gone, save unto the uttermost, and to give the uttermost salvation, even everlasting life. These things we pray for, then, Lord, do draw near to thy servant and help him to speak in thy name at this time. We pray, Lord, use thy word amongst us, Lord, and through thy Spirit, apply it to the hearts of thy people, oh, that it may be a word in season to their souls, a savour of life unto life to them. And Lord, let thy servant decrease, and Christ increase through the pulpit, Lord, that it may be thy name alone that shall have all the glory and all the praise. We ask these mercies in and through the name and person of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hymn number 1089. Sold under sin was Paul's complaint. He felt its galling load, though he by calling was a saint and rightly taught of God. Hymn 1089.
Thank you.
seeking the help of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, who would seek to draw your attention to the Gospel according to Luke chapter 24, reading together from verse 29. The Gospel according to Luke chapter 24, reading together from verse 29. But they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent." And he went in to tarry with them. What a wonderful time and a season it was to these two disciples of the Lord Jesus. The Lord drew near to them in a very unexpected time, an unasked time. He appeared to them in a most blessed and glorious way. He brought into their poor minds truths that he had told them many times in the years of his ministry in respect of his sufferings, his death, and his resurrection. Those true truths seemed to be hidden from their minds. They couldn't receive it. But what a blessing now appeared unto them. I think of the word in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1 and verse 3. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs. Dear friends, this was an infallible proof into their poor souls, wasn't it? It was a visit from the Lord. This man that drew alongside of them, he saw their trouble, he saw their need, their anxiety, their sadness. He drew alongside of them. And, dear friends, an infallible proof, wasn't it? Did not our heart burn within us? Who could be so blessed than these two disciples? Oh, dear friends, do we seek and ask the Lord for an infallible proof in our poor souls? That we're journeying and journeying to heaven, a confirmation. What a blessed time and season it was. You see, as the Lord began to open up the scriptures to them, then the warming began. I think of another word. The Lord promised his disciples, "I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." And dear friends, isn't he faithful? Isn't he true? Haven't we got one, dear friends, who will never let us down? And one whom we can rely upon and depend upon at all times? "I will not leave you comfortless. I will not leave you to be orphans, fatherless, without family." No, he drew near to them, and they were comfortless then. But Jesus said, "I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." And he came. He came. Oh, has the Lord given to us such visits as this, dear friends? Sometimes unasked for. The Lord did draw near to them. What a great mercy it is that the Lord continueth today to show his compassion, his mercy, and his pity. To whom? To whom? Poor, needy sinners, dear friends. That is who Jesus delights and loves to be with? Poor, needy sinners. Those who feel themselves so much and day by day to be sinners. And yet the truth, dear friends, that the Lord Jesus doth delight in them for this reason. He laid down his life for them at Calvary. And dear friends, they will never forget that. No, these two disciples will never forget that. And neither shall we, dear friends. The Lord drew near to them. Quite a few thoughts are on my mind in respect of this verse. In the way to open it up, and the way that we pray that the Lord through his Spirit will use it and show to us not only our need of him day by day. This was an especial day, wasn't it? An infallible proof, dear friend. You know, I believe they spoke of this day all their remaining days afterwards. Has the Lord ever visited us, dear friends? Can we come to a spot where the Lord has visited us, dear friends? When he has shown us his love and mercy, when he has broken us up and humbled us and brought us to his feet to realize the blessedness of our redemption through his blood. A time and a season. I know that I've had those times and seasons. I may have spoken to them in time past when the Lord does visit. Times we can never forget, dear friends. And I do not believe that these two disciples here ever forgot this time and season. But what about us, dear friends? Perhaps do we pray for such a visit as this? Do we seek the Lord, that he will come to us, that he will enlarge our poor souls upon the blessedness of his person and his merits? You know, I know that we have to live here below and day by day and upon the Lord for all our necessities here below. But dear friends, that is something for our poor souls to live upon. And what did Peter say in respect of the word of the Lord? Thou hast the word of eternal life. This word here, this conversation, and where the truth was opened up in respect of Christ, it was a token of heaven. Dear friends, a token of heaven. What a confirmation. Oh, let us pray for these blessings for our souls here below. When we have done with this earthly scene, dear friends, we have to leave all things here below. There is nothing here, dear friends, for a poor needy sinner. No, it's Christ. Oh, let him be the one treasure of our poor hearts. Oh, let him be that one, friends, that will rule and reign by faith in his Spirit in our hearts. We're rich in faith and rich in Christ and rich in his word and rich in his promises and rich to eternal bliss, dear friends. But they constrained him. They constrained him. This constraining was a great urgency upon them. They urged him. They didn't want this man to pass them by. Abide with us. They constrained him. They urged him. They begged of him. Their need was great. May we know this constraining, to constrain the Lord by prayer, by supplication, begging, beseeching. Friends, you will hear the prayer of the destitute. They constrained him. Why was it that they constrained him? He'd opened up all the precious truths of Scripture concerning himself, and their poor soul burned within them. Do not pass us by. Do not continue to go forth and away from us. We want more. More. Isn't that the truth? More of Christ. More of his love, his mercy, his word, his truth. More. We have to pray and beg for this. It will show, dear friends, the earnestness of our desires for him and our love for his name. We have to pray for his Spirit to come upon us, to give us that lively exercise of faith in our souls towards him. Their heart burned within them, dear friends. I think of Jacob when that man came and wrestled with Jacob. You see, he came and they were wrestling till the daybreak. And the man said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh. I cannot let thee go until thou bless me." They constrained him. Oh, and I think again, blind Bartimaeus, a beggar by the wayside. You see, his need was great. And you know, a beggar, his ears were always open, so that he could hear the passers-by and what the conversation might be, so that there might be something to his advantage, something that might benefit him. Jesus was passing by. Oh, when he knew that Jesus was passing by. "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." They charged him to hold his peace, but dear friends, he couldn't hold his peace. No, that man's case was urgent. It was so needful. Jesus was his only hope for his affliction, his only hope. And he cried the more, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus asked him to come to them. And he healed him. "Thy faith hath made thee whole." He was a beggar, you see. And he needed the dear Lord Jesus. His case was urgent. It was pressing. They constrained him. Oh, they could not let this man pass by. Dear friends, have we come to that in our poor souls? That we could not let this man pass by. Our case is so needful, so urgent. We come to the Lord's house. We want a token. We want to be made sensible again of that union and fellowship with him. We may come with a deep need, as it was with blind Bartimaeus. We may come a seeker. We may want to know Jesus in his great salvation for our souls in a personal way. They constrained him. Friends, is it our prayer that this man pass not by them? He was going as if to go forward, but they constrained him. Oh, friends, do not be ashamed of Jesus. No, he is all that thou wilt need for thy poor soul. Do not let him pass by, dear friends. Beg. Be a beggar. Beseech of him. Sue for his mercy. Sue. Venture thy all upon him. It may be that you want a token this evening hour. Constrain him. A confirmation. Constrain him. He is the sinner's friend. I know that. The sinner's friend. Just so that I might be able to speak a few things then. Why they were brought to this place to constrain him and to abide with us. That is, to abide with us, remain with us, continue with us. In other words, do not go on. Abide with us. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us. What was it? He opened up the scriptures of truth to them. Beginning at Moses and the prophets, Christ in all the scriptures. The Old Testament saints, dear friends, their faith was fixed upon the blessedness of this person, the Lord Jesus Christ. I know that we live in a far more blessed and glorious season, the New Testament and the Gospel in Jesus, but our faith looks back to him. Their faith, friends, was equal to our faith. It was faith in Jesus, faith in the blood of the Lamb of God. And the church, throughout the whole period of time, since the beginning, Christ in all the scriptures. This is the truth that began to warm their poor souls to this dear man that walked with them. I would like to begin at the beginning. He began with Moses. And he began to open up the truth in this way. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? The seed of the woman. Friends, as we go through these scriptures, we want to know that we were a part in the blessings of these scriptures. And you might say, well, it was in the Old Testament. Dear friends, we want to know that we were a part of Christ in all the scriptures. The seed of the woman that should bruise the serpent's head. What was it, dear friends? It was sin. It was the sin of our first parents. The subtlety and craft of Satan came into their hearts. Disobedience to God. And they were banished from the Garden of Eden. They partook of the forbidden fruit. They believed the word of Satan rather than the Word of God. Satan, dear friends, can come in like a flood. We may have experienced that. He knows when to come in. He knows when we're at our weakest. And dear friends, he's a roaring lion today. If we're following Jesus, dear friends, he's a roaring lion. He'll put all sorts of craft out towards thee, dear friends, to keep thee from Christ. The seed of the woman then was our first blessing and mercy that was shown by our God. He loved the people from everlasting. And because that people had fallen through Adam, and the Adam fall in us all by nature, then in the covenant of grace, Father, Son and Spirit, blessedly set forth that Father, Son and Spirit were all in agreement of that blessed and glorious second person in the Trinity, that it was through him that there should be mercy for sinners, and that there should be those that should again know the blessing and the experience of the love of God. It is all in Jesus. This love entered into the souls of these two here. They were redeemed, but dear friends, they were brought again into the blessing of it. The seed of the woman that should bruise the serpent's head. A remedy, dear friends, for the malady of that sin. The sin of our first parents, and which abides in us all by nature. And then another truth. I feel that I would just like to bring out the truth in this way. First, what the prophets may speak through the Spirit of Jesus. And then the order of worship, the sacrifices and the offerings. We cannot speak, we do not know how Jesus opened up the scriptures of truth, but we begin at the beginning at Moses, the book of Genesis. We go to the 12th chapter, and there the promise given to Abraham that in thy seed all families of the earth should be blessed, Jew and Gentile together. Dear friends, as I say, we want to be found inside of these blessed words, because it says all families of the earth. That was from the beginning to the end of time. And so we want to be in the promise, dear friends. Think of it. Think of it. Here was God's promise then to our souls, even in so distant a time back. We must see that surely. That in thy seed, Jesus Christ, all families of the earth should be blessed. You know, Jesus knew for everyone for whom he would suffer at Calvary. And then I go to the truth of that seed again, and it was a promise to David. What a gracious promise it was. This was unexpected by David. Unexpected in respect of the promise that was given to him. He wanted to build a house, a temple for the Lord. But the Lord promised him something, dear friends, that was far more blessed and superior to a building, dear friends. He said that through his bowels there should be one who would raise up his kingdom forever. Oh, that broke up the poor heart of David, that did. It was something so blessed and glorious to his soul that one should proceed through his loins that would raise up a kingdom, an everlasting kingdom. Oh, dear friends, think of it again. For ourselves, for our poor souls, Christ has a kingdom. Oh, do we want to be a part of it, dear friends? No wonder they constrained him, abide with us. These glorious truths coming into their poor souls. My Christmas cards that I sent this year, I wrote a verse that came into my mind. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And there was something very special in that, underlining the word us, us, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Do we know what it is, dear friends? Another promise, a faithful promise. Yes, born to save his people from their sins. But us, unworthy us, unworthy that he should come to us. Yes. Oh, we were sinners. Oh, this is grace, us, that he should come to us, that we should be singled out by his grace, that we should be loved from everlasting. We were no better than any other, were we? We were in our sins. But unto us, you see, oh, the grace, the mercy. And then we have the truth in respect of this shown to us, which we may have heard the time and the season that is now just past. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Can we come in here with the us? Here is the mercy of our God. Here is the love of our God. The gift of his dearly beloved Son. And he is a gift, because he was a gift to sinners. It was a gift to the lost. It was a gift to the dead. That's what he was. And then this truth. We'll just come to the sacrifices. Coming back to the book of Genesis, chapter 3, we read this truth. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. You see, there was a sacrifice. The sacrifice in the beginning. That was the order of worship, dear friends. From the very beginning, yes, a sacrifice. Blood was spilt, dear friends. A sacrifice. But this truly is that that speaks of Jesus, and that way of recovery, that way of worship, that way to thank God for his mercy. One sacrifice, you see, and that sacrifice to put away sin. And remember Adam and his sacrifice, and Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, and of the fat thereof, the firstlings of the flock, and the marginal rendering of that for is sheep or goats. Well, dear friends, it was a sacrifice. He looked to the seed of the woman in that sacrifice. He that should come, and that sacrifice, it was received of God and accounted unto Abel for righteousness. Because he looked to Jesus, you see, dear friends. He looked to that sacrifice. And then a little later, we have Moses by and through the Lord instituting the Passover lamb. And let us just bear in mind the Passover lamb, firstling, you see, about 12 months old. It was without spot, without blemish, perfect, you see. Typifying the dear Lord Jesus, he assumed our nature, you see, assumed our nature. It was without sin, it was perfect, it was that one indeed that was holy, the dear Lord Jesus. The blood that was shed, it had to be caught very carefully. You see, the Passover lamb slain. And remember, it was only commissioned for the Jews to slay that Passover lamb. Typifying, dear friends, that it was the Jews that did take him and crucify him. But the blood was caught, it was painted upon the doorposts and the lintels. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. That was their salvation, that was their redemption. That was their deliverance, the blood. The blood, you see, when I see the blood. Let us come to the New Testament. John beholding the Lord Jesus coming towards him, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. This is the Lamb. John knew it, knew in his soul what this Lamb typified, the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, that taketh away the sin of the world. Oh, dear friends, I pray that we may know something about these blessings and these truths. Peter says in his epistle in respect of this precious blood of Jesus, "For as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your father, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." See, the Old Testament sacrifices all typified Jesus. As a lamb without blemish and without spot, his perfect humanity, laying down his life a perfect sacrifice for the sins of his people. And then just see how it was that was truly set forth in the Old Testament, in Isaiah 53. "He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth." Dear friends, he's at the cross now. He's at the cross now. He never spake a word. No. A lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb. He was dumb, dear friends. He suffered willingly, without any complaint, without any murmur, without any saying, "The just wrath of God that was due to thee and due to me." He suffered. He spake not a word in respect of it. He suffered. The sword of divine justice was taken, and it was brought to lay upon the dear Lord Jesus. It missed thee and me. It passed us by, you see. It passed us by. That just wrath of God, punishment for all sin, where he is holy and righteous, dear friends, to bring about a punishment for sin. He abhors sin. It is abhorrent, you see. And then he didn't murmur and complain in respect of those wicked hands, the awful sufferings that he was brought to pass through, the stripes, the nails, the crown of thorns, the agonies in the Garden of Gethsemane. He didn't complain. And then, dear friends, as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, he didn't complain about the mass of thy sins, thy crimes, my sins, and my crimes. What do we have here, dear friends? The love of God in Jesus towards his people. Greater love hath no man than this, than that a man lay down his life for his friend. Oh, what a mercy that is. The dear Lord Jesus. I just thought of two hymns when I was just thinking about this morning. One of them very near to our last hymn, hymn number 1087. But there are certainly those truths in the hymn that we have just sung. In 1087 we have this: was it for sin, for mortal guilt, the Saviour gave his vital blood? For sin amazing anguish felt, the wrath of an offended God. Oh, dear friends, it was for sin, for our mortal guilt. Oh, it was for sinners, dear friends. And then what's in hymn number 763? Alas, and did my Saviour bleed? And did my Saviour die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? Was it for crimes that I had done? He groaned and bled upon the tree. Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. Oh, can we describe this grace, dear friends? Can we describe this grace? Oh, we come so far short, do we not, dear friends, in respect of the things that Jesus has done, to be able to realize the blessedness of the cross and what he endured and what he passed through. No tongue can tell, dear friends, the mass of our sins, our lives. And when we think of it in a personal way, it's great enough, but the mass of the church, the intensity of his sufferings at Calvary. Do thou, my soul, to Calvary fly as oft as sin defiles. There is no other place, dear friends, where sin can be put away but Calvary. No. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us. Now, dear friends, their heart burned within them. What did he do, friends, that their hearts should burn within them? He drew them to his cross. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And remember, dear friends, it was the cross that he suffered for the sins of the church. May each one of us here be drawn to that cross for mercy, that mercy through blood. Jesus has promised he will not cast out any poor coming sinner, and I, if I be lifted up above the earth, will draw all men unto me. There is hope. Hope in the mercy of our God, in the blood of Jesus, the Lamb of God, the Saviour of sinners. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us. Now, dear friends, we want him to abide with us today. Perhaps we may think of him also from the promise of the Old Testament scriptures. I think of that promise, if I can just quickly come to it, but it's in Deuteronomy 18, where we have a prophet, and I think of prophet, priest, and king. Abide with us. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him ye shall hearken. The Lord hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. Dear friends, perhaps we've come to the Lord, abide with us. Oh, we want his promise here, don't we? The twos and the threes that get together together. He said, I will be with them. Oh, to hear the words of this prophet, to hear what he will speak to our souls, abide with us. Oh, we want that, dear friends, don't we? This worship, dear friends, this house of prayer, it will avail nothing unless Christ maketh this gathering complete with his presence. Abide with us. Oh, it is a prayer. We want the Lord to be present. Abide with us. Why? We have come for spiritual meat and drink. We've come that we might feast our souls upon him. We pray for the anointing of his Spirit to take of the word, to apply Jesus to our poor souls, that our souls might live, and upon him the blessedness of his person, that salvation's wells, dear friends, might open up from Zion and not only heal and cleanse, but, friends, to be a sweet cordial to our souls. Christ revealed. And as we have opened up Christ to be revealed to us, to come into our poor souls, cause our souls to live upon his person, his merits, all his gracious promises that he has opened up to us. Oh, may the Spirit bless them to us. All his gracious offices that he holds to meet our deep needs in the soul. Whatever our needs might be, we may be in soul trouble, we may be in out. These were in trouble. Dear friends, soul trouble can be far more severe at times, dear friends, than outward trouble and affliction. And outward trouble and affliction, friends, in respect of the Lord's dear people, will bring about soul trouble. It will. But here, we have someone here. Abide with us. Just a word in season, you see. A word in season from the Lord. A word that will help us. A word that will strengthen our poor souls. A word that will help us to continue in our faith and press through the trials and the troubles that we have. Yes, abide with us. Oh, we want the Lord to abide with us. And then as a priest, dear friends, We cannot pass through this pilgrimage journey without a priest, dear friends. The first promise of a priest that would be faithful is shown to us in the first book of Samuel, in chapter 3, I believe it is. Yes, in chapter 2, first book of Samuel, verse 35. And I will raise me up a faithful priest that will do according to that which is in mine heart and my mind, and I will build him a sure house, and he shall walk before mine anointed forever. This is the dear Lord Jesus. I know it applied to Zadok a little bit later on because of the solemn truth that befell Eli's house. But a faithful priest, dear friends, Jesus, you know, is risen and ascended on high. Our faithful high priest above. Oh, we want, abide with us. You know, we shall need this faithful high priest to make intercession for us, to sue, to press our case before God the Father at the throne of grace. And remember, it's a high place, the throne of grace, a very high place. And friends, it's a place where the worm of the earth can come. Yes, a poor sinner, a needy sinner. And I show you where it is a high place. Because, dear friends, our acceptance before God is through this blessed person, the dear Lord Jesus. This truth, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Dear friends, a poor sinner of the earth, a filthy, poor sinner, is welcome, dear friends, into the holiest of all, through Jesus. By a new and a living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart. Abide with us. Oh, we shall need this gracious, loving high priest. Oh, to sue our case, to plead our cause here below, before the throne of grace. Oh, abide with us. Dear friends, wonderful mercy this. We have someone here to turn to. In all the changing scenes of time here below, the changes in our circumstances, both outward and spiritual and inward, friends, we can come to this great high priest. Abide with us. Is it our prayer? Abide with us. Oh, to be constantly with us. And then, King. King. Abide with us. I've set my King upon my holy hill of Zion. Jesus rules and reigns, King of kings and Lord of lords, for his dear people. And look at it in a very real and personal way. He is ruling, he is governing, he is presiding over every matter concerning us in a very real and personal way. Every matter in our lives, Jesus is governing, ruling, and presiding. Every matter concerning us is with Jesus and in his hand. And friends, we need grace to leave our cause and concerns with him. He is managing for us here below. Lord, help us that we might submit to him. abide with us, prophet, priest and king. Just very briefly closing on this because our time has gone. It is toward evening and the day is far spent. Friends, when we have done with the day, when we have fulfilled our labours and everything, every matter that needed to do here below, day by day, we come to the evening then. And friends, isn't this a time to turn aside? It says here, for it is toward evening and the day is far spent. When we have been filled up with all the activities of the day, whatever may overtake us, whatever we're concerned with, whatever we're responsible with, friends, when it cometh to the evening, when the day is far spent, have we got any time for Jesus? Have we got any time for Jesus? You know, we've passed through a day. He's supplied all our needs. He's blessed us with health and strength. He's been all sufficient for us. What about turning to him then? What about turning to him? He's done so much for us, hasn't he? The evening. This truth. It is toward evening and the day is far spent. I just go to a psalm. Psalm 63. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. Oh, I do believe that David enjoyed those times and seasons. I know that we will have to pray to the Spirit of the Lord to bring us to these times and seasons. But dear friends, he is merciful and gracious. And if he sees that thy heart is true, he will come. He will come. And then this truth, it is toward evening and the day is far spent. We've seen many days upon the earth. We don't know how many days are before us, with many of us. It may be this truth. It is toward evening and the day is far spent. We've lived many days upon the earth. The Lord has blessed us with many days. He has given us health and strength. But it isn't perhaps now the evening and the day is far spent. Well, dear friends, what do we contemplate in respect of this? Where are we looking, dear friends? Are we looking to Jesus? You know, there's a precious truth in respect of this, that the Lord Jesus is that one that has borne us up and carried us and brought us thus far. He says, hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, which are born by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb. Even to your old age, I am he. Even to hoar hairs will I carry you. I have made, and I will bear, even I will carry, and will deliver you. You know, are we looking to that final deliverance, friends? This is the cross of Christ. Jesus, he came and he conquered and he overcame all our enemies at Calvary. World, flesh, devil, sin, death, hell and the grave. All our enemies have all been overcome. And there will be this final deliverance from all our troubles, from all our cares. But it is then to be with Jesus, the final deliverance. He will deliver out of troubles and trials. But our final deliverance, friends, because of sin, because of corruption, will be the final deliverance, the time of our departure from this earthly scene. The sting of death is sin has been removed, and we shall enter the grave in peace. Yes, it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. One more thought, and I just pray that you're not burdened in respect of those things that I considered in respect of this. It is toward evening, and the day is far spent. I'm not going to predict, and I'm not going to speculate when the end of all things shall come. I do believe that there are those signs in the earth, many things. There are wars, there are earthquakes, rumours of wars, calamities everywhere. I do believe there's a closing in. And I do believe this truth in respect of this, for it is toward evening and the day is far spent. Dear friends, I do believe that there is an end before us, closer now. But one truth, where are we looking? Jesus is coming again. He will appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Where are we looking, dear friends? Are we waiting for his appearing? There is a wonderful word here, dear friends. We will lose nothing here below. No, dear friends. Friends, we must not set our heart upon anything here below. Jesus said, if you should gain the whole and lose your own soul. No, dear friends. Our treasure is Jesus and heaven. It was so with Jacob. He forsook all the treasures of Egypt. Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God. May this be our portion. I do believe that this word, it is toward evening and the day is far spent. Wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. All things here below. Nevertheless, we according to his promise look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Dear friends, there will be a righteous people upon that new heaven and new earth. Are we looking for that, dear friends? Are we praying to the Lord, abide with us? To hold us, to keep us, to preserve us against that great day. Abide with us, Lord. We need it. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Oh, wonderful mercy, dear friend. We have to look to him for that. We can't keep ourselves and preserve ourselves. No. Unto him that is able to keep you from falling. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. May the Lord abide with us all our days. Amen.
God willing, Dr. Sadler will preach next Lord's Day and Mr. Pocock on Tuesday evening next week. Mrs. Cooper's funeral will be, God willing, at Penstanton at 1 o'clock on Monday next week. Let us close with hymn 1074. When, gracious Lord, when shall it be that I shall find my all in Thee, the fullness of Thy promise prove, the seal of Thy eternal love. Hymn 1074.
Know the abiding presence of Jesus in our hearts by faith and his Spirit. Now may thy grace, Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of God the Holy Spirit, rest and abide upon each one of us, now and forever. Amen.